used to sing and the scripture that if our Lord tongues were as many as the hair of our head, they are not sufficient to give praises unto you. We thank you for spiritual blessings, for physical blessings, for material blessings, Lord, for every blessing. Thank you for healings, deliverances, blessings, favor, protection, and all you have been to us. We are grateful to you. Lord, we have come these last hours of this last day of this year, Lord, as a manner of the messenger you sent to us, Lord, to observe these hours before you and to, Lord, end the year and start the new year in your presence. We want to ask that your presence be with us. Thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the crosses that have been sung. We appreciate you, dear Father. Lord, we commit the entire service tonight into your hand, that you take the preeminence. If there seem be people coming on the way, may you bring them here safely. Take the glory and the honor, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Lord, for this last service of this year, and as we normally do, we'll take the exhortations first from the ministers, after which other things will follow. And I hope that by now, the specials, requests for specials, and the prayer requests, they have been submitted, because there is time to plan for them. We have strictly some time allocated for each of the items. By 12, we'll go into the breaking of bread. Once we finish that, that brings the service to a close. The Lord bless you all. You could be seated while I will invite the pastor for his exhortation.
God bless you. I'm very happy to stand before you again this evening. God bless you. We have been made to know that we should say, the weak should say, I'm strong. So I'm strong in Jesus' name. Thank you very much. I will take time, if I have to take my time, to appreciate you for your prayers, for your patience with me. That will take the little time I have. But just take me as I am. God bless you. Thank you for being patient with me all this while. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your cares. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all that you have been unto me. I'm very grateful. May the Lord be gracious unto us and prepare all of us for his glorious kingdom. Amen. Well, I didn't want to do this, but I just find that I have to do it. Just bear with me. If it is 5 minutes, I'm able to talk, and just take me for what I am. God bless you. I cannot appreciate you. When I say I appreciate all of you, I mean including the servants of the Lord. I mean including them. I don't deserve anybody. You know, my associates have been wonderful. Baba has been wonderful. Our teacher has been wonderful. But Abraham told us that he said, among the fivefold, he said the teaching ministry is the most unique. He said the pastor cannot touch him. It is a gift that God has put in him, and we have been enjoying him. So God bless you, brother. Yeah. God bless you. If I, this is senior evangelist. This is junior evangelist. It has been wonderful. We are so grateful. So in the fivefold that God has given to us, I think presently we are lucky one. Yes, sir? And that's a prophetic office. We are praying that God will give us a prophet. Because the prophet has taught us how to identify a true prophet of God. Amen? God bless you. So I just give me a few minutes and I will pass a few things and then go and sit down. Amen? God bless you. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, we are happy that your grace has brought us to this last day of the year. Thank you for how you started the year with us. Thank you for your protection and cares upon our lives. Thank you for daily provisions for our needs. Thank you for challenges that we have faced and how your grace has seen us through. Thank you for trials and temptations that the enemy has brought across our path. You have never failed us. We are very grateful to thee. Help us to trust you the more as the journey continues. Thank you for your children. Thank you for your love that they have been manifested towards one another. Lord Jesus, it is in you we put our trust. Though outside of you there is no help. May you continue to be our helper.
Amen.
This evening, a few things that have to be passed across, I pray, God, that you made them meaningful to your children. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise up? We are going to turn our Bibles to the Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. We are reading from verse 1 to 10. At the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And they were sent there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifier of the Jews, continued to of 3 fakes apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pot with water. And they filled the water, they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now a beer unto the governor of the feast. And they buy it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servant withdrew the water new. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men are well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his word into our hearts. You can please be seated. For the next 5 or 6 minutes, I want to pass a few comments on this word that we have just read. Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. That's the title of our sermon. Praise God, amen. We find out that God is the Almighty. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the ending, he's the first and the last. He's the one that was, he's the one that is, and he's the one that is to come. The Almighty God. Praise God, amen. Now, we find that the first man that God placed in the garden, Adam, came directly from the hands of the Almighty God. Adam didn't have mother, according to what our prophet taught us. And when God brought him and put him in the garden, every other creatures that were on earth, animal, birds, or what have you, they were male and female. But it was only Adam that was just both masculine and feminine. He hasn't got a partner, but he had both spirits in him. And that is why, when God finally wanted to give him a partner, he has to cause a deep sleep to come upon him. And he took a rib from his side and made a woman. That's why the prophet told us that the woman was not in the original creation. Each time those things are said, it looks as if some people are offended. We shouldn't be offended. These are facts. She was not in the original creation. And that is why when the enemy came and wanted to do something, she was the one that the enemy went to. The Lord told Adam, among all the trees that is in the garden, you can eat the fruits of them all, but with the exception of one, and that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The prophet interpreted all those things to us. I wouldn't be able to go into that now, but I believe as message believers, we know what the prophet called those things. And when the enemy came to the garden, the serpent, it was not a reptile. It was an upright creature. The prophet said it was the one that is closest to man. It was so close to man that it could speak in human language. There is no other animal that is so close to man that can speak in human language. Chimpanzee cannot do it. Gorilla cannot do it. No other beast can do it. But the serpent alone. Not only that, he is the only one too whose blood can mix with that of human being to produce a human being. Amen. When he came to the garden, he didn't go to Adam. He went straight to the woman. Remember, the Lord has told Adam what to do and what not to do. Went to the woman and said, as the Lord said, you will not eat all the fruit of the trees in the garden. Then she began to explain. We're told this, that, but this, that. He said, oh, what you have said is true, but you see, he put buts. From the admonition that Mary gave to the servants, there is no but in the word of God. Whatever he says unto you, just do it. Carry it out. No but, no addition, no subtraction. No, whatever he says, because his word is final. He has a final say. His word is correct. He makes no mistake. So whatever he says has to be obeyed. Whatever he says to you, do it. Then the woman said, but since you are telling me now that we will not surely die, that's okay. She submitted herself, and the prophet told us what happened between the serpent and the woman. He told us that is how Cain was born. Amen? That is how Cain came into existence. And when the woman had that experience, what Abraham told us, that actually wasn't the reason, that was not what God intended for them to do. He said, a time would have come that Adam will speak and Eve will conceive. Amen? But being that is God, and he knows the ending from the beginning, he knows that the fall will come. He knows everything. And that is why he created man and woman the way he has created us. Praise God. Amen. And now, Eve now took that experience to Adam and said, oh, all this while we'll be together, you have never told me that something like this is existing. I had an experience today I want to share with you. You see, Adam was not deceived. Adam knew what God said. Adam was not ready to disobey God. All that Adam did was that he loved the woman and he wanted to go her way. That is just it. All that happened. And the deed was done. And that was it. Immediately that was done, all along when they were placed there, they were both naked. But they didn't know they were naked because they were covered by the glory of God. The glory of God covered them. They did not know they were naked. So Adam didn't know the use of that woman. You only know how to be bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. What she's made for, she doesn't know. It was the serpent that taught her. Then the serpent came and related the same teaching to Adam. Amen? Now, when that took place, they discovered now they were naked. It was not Adam shouting, Lord, Lord, come. We have done what you asked us not to do. And this is the result. No, both of them started running away. Well, Abraham said that is the character of a sinner. A sinner will always want to run away from the presence of God. That's why people don't come to church. Because when they come to church, they will hear things that God have to tell them sometimes because they are not ready to obey. They are not ready to do what God tells them to do. They think it's better to stay away. Then, when they discovered they were naked, Adam and Eve, they got fish leaves to cover their nakedness. But Abraham told us, nothing covers the sin of man apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. They tried to do that. They did that. Then God came to the garden. In the meeting place, each time God comes in the cool of the evening, they always come together and praise God and have fellowship. But that time, they were running away. The way God came to the garden, started calling, Adam, Adam, where are you? He said, look, as if God didn't know what has happened. But he knew, because there is nothing that is secret unto him. Then Adam said, Lord, we heard your voice in the garden. We are afraid. He said, who told you what happened? He said, we are naked. Who told you are naked? How do you know that? He said, but the woman, you know I didn't ask for her. He thought that's what he was telling God. The woman that you gave me, before the woman came, I was fine. But the woman that you gave me, he did this one. God said, okay, woman, what is the problem? He said, no, the problem is from the serpent. God didn't ask the serpent anything. Then there was a conference that was called. That was the first conference, I believe. The first conference that was called. And that was in attendance. Eve was in attendance. The serpent was in attendance. The overall boss, God himself, was there. Then when that happened, God didn't need to ask anybody, how do we take care of this matter? He knows all things. That is why we must have confidence in him. That is why we must believe him. That is why we must trust him. He knows all about us. You don't care what man says about you. Man is a man, and he can talk as a man. But God is God, who knows all things. Praise God, amen. Oh, blessed be God forever. Then, this is what God then did. He said, this is the judgment. Woman, because you have done this thing, the prophet said, until that time, man and woman were co-equal. He said, but when that happened, the co-equalness, you will hear the pronouncement of God now. He said, woman, because you have done this thing, he said, in pain and in sorrow, you will bring forth children. And your desire shall be that of your husband, and he shall rule over you. That was the pronouncement of God. That was thus says the Lord. To the woman, remember the title of our psalm was that whatever he said unto you, do it. Amen. God didn't stop there. He turned to the serpent. I said, because you have done this thing. He said, upon your belly, you will crawl all the days of your life, and sand shall be your food. That upright creature, by the power of the spoken word, it goes on the belly. That is how it is there till today. But he turned to Adam. Adam is the son of God. Amen. He didn't curse Adam. He said, Adam, because you have done this thing. Which he was not deceived. Because you deliberately did it. You are following your wife. You love her and the rest of it. It's okay. Curse in this ground for your sake. It will no longer yield its fullness when you tear it. He said, does that hurt? How does that shall return? And he went further to say too that he said, may God help us. Amen and amen. He went further to say, he said, that's one of them things. Praise God, amen. Well, that is how it happened. And that is how death came to man. Amen. Amen. Remember that does thou art, does thou shall return, was spoken of the flesh, not the soul. The soul is the man. That is why when man dies, he enters to another body. Whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, there's another body that he goes into. The believer goes to another body, and there are other, what do you call it now? Other, the sixth dimension. And that is where Brother Abraham is now. And that is why every sleeping saint is now. Praise God. Amen. The message of the hour is so vast that I don't know. I have to stop. I just have to stop. But remember what it says unto you. Do it. I remember too. Yes. I remember too that Joshua, when he came to the wall of Jericho, the wall of Jericho was so broad that they had to build houses on top of wall. They didn't know what to do. They were just going around it until he saw a man with a sword. He drew his own sword because he had been told by God that no man shall be able to stand before you. Oh man, whatever God says, just stay by it. He drew his sword. If you see what he told that man, you will know that he believed God. He went to him, he said, are you for us? Or you are for our enemy? If you are for our enemy, just tell me, let me take care of you. Because you have been told by God, nobody can stand before you. Praise God, amen. He said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. He bowed before him. The captain of the host told him what to do. And what he told him could have been arguable, humanly speaking. This thick wall that they can build house on top. He said, go round it once a day. Second day, go round it once. The seventh day, go round several times. And let out a shout and praise and worship. Does it make sense to human being? That kind of war. We are not talking about going to hire bulldozer. But we have been told whatever he says. Do it. They did it. And the war went down. They said the Solini. How many of it am I going to say? I wanted to. My time is up. I'm very sorry that I can't talk more. God bless you. I never knew I could survive to this minute. What I have it. God bless you. So my admonition is this. That is why we come to church. Whatever God says, obey it. Obedience is better than. Shall we bow our heads? I bless the Heavenly Father. We thank you for these few broken words that have gone forth to your people. We ask, O God, that you pull them together, give them the meaning, interpret them to their hearts, and give them grace and faith to be able to live by them whenever occasion demands. Grant it, Heavenly Father. May we know that whatever you say, O God, it doesn't have any interpretation. What you said is what you said. Help us, O God, that whatever you say, we should obey it. Thank you, our Father. Even the place where we took the text, we could not even reach it. Thank you, Master. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Yeah.
From St. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16, we'll read from verse 7, I think. Yes. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, will guide you to all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. You can please be seated. It's wonderful preaching from the pastor. They told me to stop him, but I wasn't intending to stop him. I wanted him to release whatever is releasable after, and yeah, so very soon we trust that the full strength will come. The Lord bless you. I have about 15 minutes or so, because the time we allocated for ourselves before, we have to adjust it a little, so we are targeting 20 minutes now. I want to speak briefly on a guide. The scripture that we read, that was what the prophet took to preach the message, a guide. And he explained to us who a guide is. Let me just read one or two paragraphs to say, now a guide has to know the way. Paragraph 14. He has to know where he is going and what he is doing and how to take care of you along the road. So he's got to see that you don't come up lost. A guide is a selected man. The states select this man. He's talking about physical guide now. If he's a guide. And now, in going on a trip into the wilderness, where perhaps you are not used to going, it's not a good thing for you to go without one. Frankly, some places you can't even go without one. For instance, Canada. The guide has to sign your license to the game warden. He has to sign himself in and is responsible for you. If anything happens to you, it is his responsibility. He's got to take care of you. He's got to see that you are not lost. He's got to be sure that he don't send you in somewhere that you don't know your way back. And if you do get lost, he's got to know the country so well that he can pick you up just any time. He's got to know all these things, or he cannot be a guide. He cannot be licensed to be a guide. Let me read paragraph 18 also. Now, a guide knows where he is at, regardless of the weather. He is equipped to do that. He knows what he is doing. He is familiar with everything. He knows the looks of everything, so he can just be in the darkness and he could feel a certain thing. Now, the prophet preached this message, a guide, to tell us in this generation that this spiritual journey, we can't travel it without a guide. That if anybody venture to do that one, he's sure to come up lost. He explained the physical guide. He explained what they do, the training that they said go through, and the rest of it, until they are given the license to be qualified to be a guide. Because the life of somebody is in their hand. And the prophet said himself is a guide in Colorado. are some few places where he's so familiar with. And he told us of trick, because he's a hunter, that they normally used to do. He explained some of it, which a natural human being who is not a hunter does not know. How to, when there is no sun, know when the sun is shining. It tells you the time and talks so many things. But when there is no sun, when there is no light, when there is nothing, and they needed to, and they don't have a physical compass, and they needed to know which way, that is north, east, west, south. He told us what they used to do to be able to get where the north is. Now the prophet went further to tell us, for an example, of some boys. They are about 40 in number. They are boy scouts. He said they were full scouts, not just club scouts, like recruit or whatsoever. He said they were full scouts. And they went into the wilderness without a guide. And when the weather changed from the regular trend, despite the fact that the government sent out militia, helicopter, and different things to search for them, see, they couldn't find them. All the 40 of them, they perished. Because, he said, because the weather changed from the normal position. There is a normal run when everybody thinks that they know the road. But when it changed from the normal thing, that is the reason, that is where the importance of the guide comes in. And you see, the children of Israel that traveled from Egypt to Palestine, God told them that this journey, you don't know the road. Even Moses, that even came from that side, doesn't know the road. There is a special road that God wants them to take for the purpose of this journey. He said, therefore, I send my angel before you, the pillar of fire. He said, as you should follow it, don't go ahead of it. When it stops, you stop. When it moves, you move. That was the instruction. That was their guide. As long as they follow that pillar of fire without complaining, without murmuring, without argument, without no nothing, the journey will be going smooth. You know how the journey went, and you know the reason. Majority of them perish in the wilderness, because along the way, they begin to claim to know more than the guide. The Bible told us that God made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. It was only Moses that knew God's way that God made it known to. But the children of Israel were just seeing his acts. Because the prophet said in here, he said the Old Testament prophets, starting from Moses, they were God's guide to the people. They are the one that is the eye of God to the people. They are the mouthpiece of God to the people. They are the one that God designed in a way that they can come and meet God face to face and have discussions. Every other mortal that try it will perish. They try it once when they said that it's too much of Moses. And God told Moses, I've heard their murmuring. He said, don't worry, I will come down to address them. He said, they should sanctify themselves for 3 days. Let no man go near his wife. They should wash their clothes. And they should keep social distance to this mountain. I will descend on the third day. The third day, when God was coming, they took to their ears. Why? They were not configured. They were not built in a way to be able to face God and hear from him. One person was designed like that, that was Moses. But because they were not satisfied with what Moses was telling them and they want to hear from God himself, then that happened. From that day, they said that from henceforth, whatsoever Moses will tell them, they will take. Do they follow that? That is the nature of human beings. The prophet told us of an unthoughtful father. The man was looking at magazine pictures, and he happened to see a deer in a drawing on top of a mountain. So he carried his rifle that was going to go and hunt for a deer. He's not a hunter. No, because in America, you can buy a gun and take a license and just carry it and say you want to go and So he took his son of 6 to 7 years of age, carry him along. Let's go and hunt for a deer. And with the idea that the picture he saw, that it was on the mountain. So he carried his son and they were moving. At a point, when the boy was getting tired, he said, climb my back. So the man carried his son at his back and they were climbing mountain. Abraham said that anyone who is a hunter knows that deers are not found on the hill. They are always at the valley because that's where they will get food. But because this man was depending on the picture that he has looked at, like people do today, they depend on pictures, they depend on stories, they depend on so many things to make their decision. This man carried his boy and then the snow was falling. And then the prophet said that the weather changed from the regular routine. He couldn't know which one, the way they came. They begin to move around. They didn't go with a guide. At the end of the day, it was too late. The prophet said he hunted too late until the shadows fall. Darkness covered them. They didn't know the way. They didn't have anybody to tell them what to do. That boy, Abraham said, he held the boy on his bosom. The boy cooled off. He lost his boy on that hunting trip. Not only that, he did not get any deer. Yoruba will say that Ekunlo Adanu. He was pursuing an animal, threw cutlass to the animal. He couldn't find the cutlass again. The animal too also escaped. It's a double loss. Why? Because he didn't go with the guy. Abraham said that him as a hunter, he knows how to survive in the snow. He says sometimes when he make the fire to melt a stone of about few feet like this one, he will just remove the wood and then lie down on that hot ashes to be able to survive. Them that are hunters, they know how to do all that. But this man did not know. And he didn't go with a guide. The prophet said, that is the way that Christians are. Let me read as my time is fading out. It's not a preaching night anyhow. Now the prophet said, that is the trouble with Christians today. They wait till the darkness settles over. Then you find out that you have left without the guide. It is not as it is in the physical, so also in the spiritual. Of course, know the prophet is nature of bringing the message. He will start from physical to be able to make the picture clear and then hit the main thing he's talking about. The prophet said, have you ever seen a man that is lost? He said, did anybody ever have the experience of bringing in a man that is lost? He said, it is the most pitiful thing you ever seen. When a man gets lost, he goes wild. He don't know what he's doing. He explained that a boy was caught recently who was lost in the bush, and even his own brother saw him. He couldn't recognize his brother as brother again. He was throwing something at his brother. He was biting himself. He was biting everybody. That is what happened when you see a spiritually lost man. Everybody that he sees, their enemies. Know that thing go with insanity. Yeah. And that is how it is when a man gets lost from God. These things, they have traits, they have attributes, they have the nature. If you study the person, if you are a spiritual person, you know that this guy is lost. He goes wild. He's not friendly. Nobody is friendly with him. Nothing you do that the person will be everywhere like that. May God be merciful to us. Finally, the prophet said, God sent the prophet in the Old Testament as guide. And he said today, he has also given us a guide. And that guide is the Holy Spirit. He has given us the guide as the Holy Spirit. In this generation, he has given unto us a prophet also as a guide. No, and the Holy Spirit is also God in spirit form. In a local garden like this, he gives us shepherd, who is also a spiritual guide. You cannot, if you are spiritual, all these people, whether it is God or whether it's the prophet of the age, whether it's the shepherd, as long as all of them are in the same line, they work together. Yes, they work together. They don't, the shepherd cannot disagree with God's word, because the Holy Spirit of God is also inside of him. So that is, if somebody is spiritual and want to make this journey, all this guy, you can't push anyone aside, because it is God's program. If you are not happy, you are not satisfied with the program that God has put down, don't try the journey, because you will come up lost. The prophet says, so it is when a man is lost from God, he will do things that he ordinarily wouldn't do. He will do things that is beyond the thoughts of a human being doing. A lost man from God. A lost church from God. A church that has gone away from God. Got away from the principles of God's Bible. Will do things that sometimes that you wouldn't expect to find in a church of the living God. May God be our help. We can't make this journey without this guy. He cannot be a success. The reason why the children of Israel stayed that long in the wilderness was because of they were disagreeing with the guide that God gave them. If they cooperated with the guide, that journey would have been a few days. But because of constant arguments, and these are the people that cry unto God when they were being tormented that they needed God's mercy. When God sent his own mercy to them, by sending his provided way of bringing them out, they started arguing with him. They claimed to know more than him. And at the end of the day, they all perish in the wilderness. This is another wilderness journey. Spiritually, the prophet said, the way God led those ones in the physical, that is also how God is leading us today in the spiritual. There is no difference. Theirs was physical, ours is spiritual. And the same principles follow it. May we not come up lost in this journey. I know we have all come tonight. Everybody wants to pray to God in this last day of the year. They want to whatever, whatever. Definitely a year will come that we'll see the beginning and the end will not come. Is that certain? It's certain. Which year, I don't know. You don't know too. In fact, this very week, within a week now, so many people have died. Just heard that this one died today, this one died tomorrow, this one died, this one died. When everybody was looking at the new year in front, few days, they just, just be dying like that. Death is not even a bad thing, the prophet said. As long as you have something to face it. No, Jordan, the prophet said, means death. It's not, he said it's not bad if you have something to cross Jordan with. But if there is nothing to cross Jordan with, it is very dangerous. So let us not do an Indian type of work, which is called a death work. Let us make a determination is what everybody needs. What did you pray over in the year 2024 to 25? If it's still the same request, this one, then mean that 2025 was like a waste. There's no progress. There should be a difference. So now, there should also be a difference if another year comes. Not the same request. Not the same thing. If you are asking God to deliver you from something and all throughout that 12 months, no deliverance, and you keep quiet, you didn't say anything. May the Lord be our help. Shall we bow our hearts? Our gracious eternal Father, Lord, this is just few statements. We leave ourselves in your hand. We pray that you will help each and every one of us not to go ahead of our guide, not to argue with our guide, and not to go without a guide. Help us, dear Father, that as many as are yearning for the Holy Spirit, Lord, may you lift up their faith, grant unto them the desires of their heart. If there be anyone that does not even see his need,
May you do something to such. Have your way, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet as we read from the book of St. Gospel according to St. John, also from chapter 15. John chapter 15. We start our reading from verse 4. John chapter 15. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. If he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide in not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and abide in his love. This thing have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. Righteous eternal Father, help us, Lord Jesus, to look into what your servant said, Lord, as we try to master, admonish ourselves. Give us understanding. Let your spirit expand your word, master, to our heart, O God. Grant this, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. God bless you. I just want to read quotes, if you will bear with me. First, I want to read from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In 53:05-06, I want to read from paragraph 16b. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, 53:05-06, from paragraph 16b. Okay. And Franklin, or Edison, rather, he tried wires after wire, and finally he find the wire that will light, that will bring light. He's got to be there. If something inside of him told him it will be there, he's got to be there. So we got electricity light today. And friends, for 20 years since I have been a Christian, I believe that there was a God, just as real as that light is on my hand. That light is on my hand. And there is power of God in this room tonight to heal every sick person in here, open every blind eyes, unstop every deaf ear, make every lame man leap like a heart, save every sinner, sanctify and fill with the Holy Ghost every believer. He is here, just as real as real can be. Now, if you can just find the wire that carries the current to you, In the 20 years of research of the Bible and talking with the angel of the Lord and the many things I find here is two things. That is love and faith. If you love God, just purely unadulterated love, you have got to have faith in Him. It will accomplish faith every time. And when love and faith gets married, you ask what you want to, and you will have it. That is when you know that your Heavenly Father cannot tell you any lie. He is God. He can't lie. And then when you believe Him with all your heart, and you believe that what you ask for, you ask it not for any selfish motive, but your right motive behind there is ask it for the glory of God, and believe without any shadow of doubt that your Father won't lie to you. Something is going to take place. When you get all the cock levels out of the way and just look right straight there to Calvary and believe it with all your hearts. Praise the Lord. I also want to read from Perfect Faith that he preached in 63. Bear with me. Don't worry. When the time is up, I will leave. Perfect Faith that he preached in 63:08-25. Paragraph, I think that's paragraph 128 to 139. I think if that is all we could read, that is sufficient. 128, paragraph 128. Love and faith. 128. Alright. Are you there? Okay. Notice. You got to have faith, and you separate them and put one extreme south and one extreme north. There is still that love beating for one another, no matter where they are at. They are just as true to one another as you can be because they love one another. And if you love the Lord, just not trying to dodge hell, but you love the Lord, then you have faith in God. See, if you love Him. A young girl just happened here in Louisville not long ago. A woman, she been a Christian for many years, but her husband had just fell in love. She fell in love with this man. He had been a Christian a couple years, and so they got married. They loved and had confidence in one another, and they got married. And so the woman said to the man, he said, "Obi, it must be hard on you. You are just a young Christian. You have had so much to go through with. Drinking is what it was." Said, you have had so much to go through with. And said, "I know you are bound to be tempted awful hard." And I said, "I want you to know one thing now. Now, if you happen to fall, if you happen to fall into temptation and you are overcome by the temptation, don't stay away from home. You come on back. You come right here. I'm going to be right here waiting for you. And I'm going to help you pray through again until you get victory. You get the victory. I'm going to stay with you. Because when I married you because I love you. And no matter what you are, I still love you." The God still loves us.
Amen. Amen.
Few days after that, he was eating his lunch with the fellows down in the boiler room. He was telling them about it. Said, "Now, how can a man ever do anything wrong when somebody loves you like that? See, there you are. How could you trespass that confidence? And when we were sinners, annihilated without God in the world, and that mock of mud, as I talk about this morning, God comes to us God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God come down in that mock what you were and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you were and look what you have. What did that? Somebody that loves you. Can't you have faith in what is promised you then? Real genuine love will create a confidence in his word. He caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing, but I am in his hands. See, he caught me and he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you were unlovable. But he changed you, just like the color sister said. That time in her testimony said, I am not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. She knows she had come somewhere. Something happened, and that is the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence that he wants to use me. He got a purpose in doing it. He seen something in me. He seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the person that is unsaved today. Look at the millions he could have took beside you, but he took you. Amen. So no one can take your place. Amen. You are in God's economy. No one can do it. That is his love to you. Praise ye the Lord. Are we following the prophet? If God could so love us to show all this message, if God could so love us to bring God thus far, look at where you were many years back or some years back, and look at what he has done for you. He brought you from the muck of sin. He brought me from the muck of sin. And he had a purpose for doing so. Praise ye the Lord. Okay? Then won't your love reach right back to him? And there is a love affair. No matter what the situation is, his circumstances is governed by this love that creates faith. And God loves you, and you love God, and you love one another, and that brings the faith. All right. Then it can't keep from bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do. Now watch. Perfect faith is pure, just as pure as love is. Now, when you love somebody and you love your husband or you love your wife, now there is no need of anybody telling you you don't do it, because you do it and you know you do it. Now, if I will ask you, how can you prove you do it? Oh, I will prove it by the way I live to him. See, I'm a true, honest wife. I'm a loyal, honest husband. And that proves to me that I love my wife or I love my husband. See, your love proves what you have. The same thing Christianity does. See, your faith, you have confidence in one another. It is pure and is something real, and that you can't show it to somebody else. Yet you got it, and your action proves it. And when you got pure, unadulterated faith, like your love is to your companion, then you prove it by the way you act. You hardly complaining no more. You know it's done. Just walk along. No matter what the things look like, what anybody else say, you know what happened. You know that it is finished, just as well as you know you love your husband, as well as you know you love and faith has to go together. They are kinsfolk. They love. Love produces faith. Praise the Lord. Love does what? Produces faith. When we love the Lord, we will do all that he said in his word. When we love the Lord, we will not go contrary to his commandment. When we love the Lord, that love produces the faith that brings us out of every evil. Praise ye the Lord. My time is up. Let us pray. Our righteous eternal Father, Lord Jesus, we can never fathom, O living God, the great love that you had for us, Lord, in that you saved us, you brought us from the muck of sin to be your sons and your daughter. Then, Lord, if you so much loved us, Lord, when we were saved, so many were still roaming in sin who never knew and died in sin, Lord. But you brought us out. You helped us and you revealed your Son unto us, Father. We are very grateful, Lord. May this, O living God, Master, produce faith in us, Master, that we will never do anything contrary to your word, Master. And Lord, may that faith, O living God, Master, give us the confidence that our Lord, who brought us out, cannot fail us. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Be with us in the new year that is coming. Help us, Lord Jesus, to show much, much love unto you, Master. Grant this, Heavenly Father. Blessed be thy name, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. We thank you very much, Lord, for making us to the end of this few hours to close the year. We are grateful unto you. The way you started with us, we appreciate you for your wonderful love and mercy unto us. Be thou exalted, O Lord. Thank you for your servants in this assembly. Thank you for the way you have been working in them and through them, O Lord, to be a blessing unto us. We pray for more of your grace in this coming year. Help me at this hour, O Lord. Bless these few words into the hearts of your children. Grant it, Heavenly Father. May what you have been hearing and what you are yet to hear may not pass over our heads. May minister blessing to our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Read verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Take note, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Shall please be seated. Praise be to God. I will read from Seven Churches book here. The Overcomer's Throne. Well, if you help us search it, the Overcomer's Throne. The Overcomer's Throne. Then I will connect it to how can I overcome? Praise the Lord. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now listen to the prophet. Now, what are we to overcome? The question now. That is the normal question to ask here. But that is not the actual thought of the verse, for it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. Are we there? You see, that's why the prophet, for emphasis sake, it was capital what here and capital how. Now, this is logical. For does it matter much what we are to overcome, as long as we know how we can overcome. Alright. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word. And by the word only. In each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word. After his baptism, he received the Holy Spirit. He was driven to the wilderness. And he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible made us to know. And the tempter came. The enemy, Satan, told him, if thou be the Son of God, don't forget that Satan is an unbeliever. He's a doubter of the word of God. So if thou be the Son of God, command that this stones be turned to bread. For Jesus will not yield to Satan. Quickly, he applied the word. Which part of the scriptures? Because Jesus is the word. Which part of the scripture did he apply to? Jesus went straight, being the word. To the, excuse me, children. Deacons, please come and take care of these children in the front here. Maybe they are strangers, I don't know. Jesus referred him back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Are you there? When Moses was telling the children of Israel that he tried you, he tempted you to see how you be faithful, to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Jesus gave Satan back the word. Amen. After that, he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and showed him, and told him, he has given his angel charge, he will give his angel charge over you that you will not dash your foot against the stone. If you can just fall down here, if you are the Son of God. And Jesus told him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What are we talking about? Jesus overcame Satan by the word, and the word alone. Then he took him to the highest mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world. He showed him Azeroth, he showed him Washington DC, he showed him Russia, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all these have been given to my hand, and I give it to whosoever I will. That's what we used to tell ourselves. The politicians, they already sold themselves to the hand of the devil. And then they know where they are going. Don't forget that this world does not belong to you and me. May God help us. We have a kingdom that we are going to, which is not made by man. Praise the Lord. If you can just bow and worship me, I will give it to you. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus overcame by the word, and right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Also, it is the only way that you can know if you are overcoming, because that word can't fail. Are you there? That word can't fail. How can I overcome? 65, I believe, 65, August 25. 63, please, 63, August 25, paragraph 37. I just want to read a few things there before I hand over the mic. I hope we are getting something. Don't forget that the only way you and I today can overcome is by the word. Because Jesus gave you and me the example on how to overcome the world that we are living in today. Paragraph 37 says, you've got to have something to overcome. Hallelujah. When Jesus was talking about he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. Don't forget, the prophet made us not on the throne, but in the throne. Praise God. Paragraph 38 says, but now notice, his call here is not to just the church. Amen? He said, he that overcometh, not the church, that will be she, see, the church body, but it is he that overcometh, that quote now, he that overcometh, the individual that will overcome now. The race is individual race. Brothers and sisters, may God help us. It is not me and my husband, it is not me and my wife. It is you as an individual. It is me that as an individual. Praise the Lord. So if you don't go, you cannot hinder somebody else. May God help us, church. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to 51. No, 44 first. 44, paragraph 44. We see this age that we are living in. It is one of the grandest ages of all ages. This Laodicea church is the grandest of all the church ages because it is the ending of time and the blending it of eternity. After this age, no more age. God help us. And then it is the greatest sinful age. It is more sinful in this age than there has ever been. Or there has ever been. And the powers of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any age. God help us, church. Here, back there in early ages, a Christian could, for his profession of being, of belonging to Christ, could be beheaded for it. Don't forget, in the dark ages, what that happened. People, believers were fed to the lions. Pregnant women, Christian women that were pregnant, they brought out wild dogs. They removed the baby in their womb and fed them to wild dogs. They did not give up. May God help us, church. He could be killed and put out of his misery and go to meet God quickly. But now the enemy has come in the name of church, and it is so deceiving. This is the great age of deception. When Christ said the two spirits will be so close in the last days till it will deceive the very elected, if it was possible. Praise God. Remember, Christ spoke of an elected people for the last day. It will deceive the very elected if it were possible. So close. The people so live. People can live a clean, holy life, not be sinful, adulterers, and drinkers, and liars, gamblers. They can live above that and still not with it. I hope you get that one. Capital IT. And still not with the Holy, and still not with the Holy Ghost. Are you there? This is the age of personal life of Christ. Where he came, okay, let's go to 55. Bear with me, please. All right? 51. It's a sermon on his sermon, just picking out a few things for us. We are talking about the overcomers through. Now we see the hour that we are living in, this stage, and we see what it was. And the Holy Ghost is rebuking the age that put him out. Now this year, we know that. But in all that, did you notice? To him that overcometh, even in that worldly, wicked church age, him that overcometh. So whether we like it or not, God is going to have overcomers in this age. Because he had overcomers in all the other ages. So he's going to have overcomers today. May God help you, my brother. May God help me. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to 75. 75. Praise the Lord. All right, 75. All right, 75. B now. Now we are expected to be tested. That is a good lesson for my brother back here, there also. He that overcometh, he that cometh to God, must first be tested. Tested what? With the word. That is God's test. Do you believe it? He that cometh to God must be tested. That only shows a true child. Then see, be tested. And when the test comes, you can't overcome unless there is a test given to you. And when test is given, it is to see whether you can overcome or not. How are we going to be overcome? How are we going to overcome? By the word. And by the word only, we are going to be tested by the word that is given to us in this our generation. Praise the Lord. Do you believe it? He that cometh to God must be tested. That only shows a true child. Then see, be tested. And when the test comes, you can't overcome unless there is a test given to you. And when the test is given, it is to see whether you can overcome or not. And Jesus said, to him that overcometh the test. The test is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. I believe it is written in the scripture. Peter said that our trials are worth more to us than precious gold. It is a testing time. It is one good evidence to us that God is with us when we are tested. For all children of God are tested and tried. Our Lord Jesus Christ was tested. Are you following me? Before I drop the mic, our Lord Jesus Christ was tested. Even at the point of death, remember that Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and that only. It was very hard for him to lead the disciples. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible made us to know in Hebrews chapter 5 that, you know, when he groaned in the spirit, he cried in agony that if this cup should pass over me, because it is not impossible for you to do, to let this cup pass over me, but nevertheless thy will be done. May God help you, my brother. May God help me, my sister. Therefore, whatever happened to us, things will come across our way today, that anything that is contrary to the word of God, God wants us to stay by the word of living God. May God help us. You see, technology has made things easier for us today. And that is why this our what is it called now? Our
online will make us to be staying at home and will not come and associate yourself with believers. May God help us. Don't think that it is too much for a minister to say that. It is what the prophet said, and he repeats the same thing. Say, if you truly love God, you will not stay at home. You will not even wait for the church door to be opened. Before you come to church and worship, say, your brother will not be a burden to you. Your sister will not be a burden to you. That is the word of the living God. Church, may God help us. So many things surrounding us today that look into testing time around us that look into. We have to, if care is not taken, if you are so much, you know, interested and you are so bound with this, your answers, you know, with your social media, these kind of things. No time to read Bible again. No time to listen to someone who is one of the tests you are going to face. May God help us. Because when time comes now that the thing that you're supposed to do to overcome the devil, and when the enemy comes now and you are not able, when you don't know what the word of God says, you come to church, you hear the sermon, you don't go back again to repeat it, to listen all over. You think you have done your religion for the day. May God help us. The time will come that look, you know, when you are faced with the things that you know you're supposed not to do and contrary to the word of God, and then you refuse to do it, and then you fall for the enemy like Satan, like he did. Then where are you going to stand before the Almighty God? Our time is short. We don't know who is next. Are you following me? We don't know who is next. It could be me. It could be you. The thing is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you have the Holy Spirit in you to be able to make you to be strong, to have an anchor? That look, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. Do you have that word of God in you, quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit? That is where the problem is today. Let us pray. May God bless his word to our heart. Our Heavenly Father, we commit these few things into your almighty hands. You watch over your word to perform it. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your word can never pass away unfulfilled. Lord Jesus, the prophet made us to know in this sermon that not much of our fastings, our prayers, our confessions will earn us that throne. It is only given to the world bride, to them that are called, to them that are chosen, to them that are ordained unto it, because those are the ones that are going to be overcomers, even as our Lord Jesus Christ overcame for us. Oh Lord, we pray that these things will not become too common unto us. May the Holy Spirit take your word, O Lord, and place it into the hearts of your children. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Help everyone, O Lord our God in heaven, when the time of prayer shall come, O Lord our God in heaven, to be sincere, to be honest with ourselves, that, Lord, be merciful to me and be gracious unto me. Be our prayer. As you always say, not try to make a new year resolution like his father did, that, you know, whenever every new year's eve, he will open one eye. The father will open one eye and just throw the packets of cigarettes somewhere, and then he will know where he put it. He threw it. Then he will go back again and pick it up again. May that not be our portion. Oh, may you help us, O Lord. Because our time is so short. Anything can happen at any time. Help me, O Lord. Help your servants here. Help each one of us, Lord. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our dear Lord, we want to honor you for this privilege spending our lives to witness the last day of the year. This has been your mercy. We will thank you, committing ourselves to you for this period, Lord, to have a little to what your servants have ministered to us. Master, once again, had your blessing to us. Take all the glory and honor.
In Jesus' name we pray. Hebrews chapter 9.
Glory from verse 1 to 14. Reading the scripture is part of quotes. All right, from verse 1, chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and the worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. But we thank God through William Aaron Branham, the seventh angel messenger we know. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which we was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. We stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered him once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? God bless the reading of his word. To our heart, you can please be seated. We are grateful to God for the privilege to be together. From this, just want to speak of the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ. We know the benefits of the blood of Jesus, but are they real? Are these benefits real to many of us? First, we know from what we have read here, God instituted the blood because the Bible says without the shedding of the blood there is no remission of sins. God's planned redemption for man, the pastor started from Genesis. He planned redemption for man, and he instituted blood. And that is why the prophet made us to know that there is no way that a man can have fellowship with God to the outside of the blood. It is by the blood. My emphasis here in verse 14, how much more? In verses 13 and 14, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The very purpose of God, why he instituted the blood, was for man to return to him. Without the blood, our sins cannot be remitted. And when our sins are not remitted, we can't go back to God. We won't have access to God. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us access to God, to ask him. For God to answer our prayers, it is because the blood is on the mercy seat. Praise be to God. In the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we have read it here, that the blood must be sprinkled on every aspect, as Moses commanded. Not this blood that will be sprinkled, and then the worshiper comes, the ashes of the animal that was burnt, animal that was burned into ashes, will be mixed with water, and then the priest will take the water and will sprinkle upon the sinner. When that was done, God accepted that that person has been purified, because that was standing for the blood. And then the blood of the animal too will be put in a charger and it will be sprinkled upon the people, upon the vessels rather, be sprinkled upon the vessels to sanctify the vessels. And these are bloods of animals. And here Brapo was telling us that if the blood of animal could be recognized by God to purify people, to purify the vessels and to make way for people to come unto God, then he now asks us that how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself unto God without spot, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let me read this from Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read this. The infallible proof of the resurrection. That's 1957, January 14. I'm reading paragraph 17. Yeah, 171. Paragraph 171. Because of my time, I may not be able to wait for you except you are fast. And another thing, we find out in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, that pardoning produces purity. The prophet is speaking about, the outcome of pardon. If we are pardoned, things that will follow pardon. When you are pardoned, when your sins are forgiven, things that follow, things that will manifest in your life, he said purity. The worshippers, having no more conscience of sin. Another thing we find out in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, that pardoning produces purity. The worshipper, having no more conscience of sin, and has cleansed himself from dead traditions. When we really come under the blood, we are cleansed from the dead traditions. The scripture says so, Hebrews 9. Watch, cleanse your conscience from dead works. Praise be to God. And that's what verse 14 also emphasizes. Now, this blood, how does it apply to me? Because the Almighty God make available this blood. In the first place, when they sin, like the pastor was saying it just briefly, just recently, God had to kill an animal to give them access back to himself. The prophet said, if that animal was not killed, and he drove them out of the Garden of Eden, that's the end of it. But God spread the red carpet for them, through which a hairy man, a hairy woman, a hairy girl, a hairy boy, a sinner, can come back to God. The blood that Jesus Christ shed today is the blood that is calling sinner to come for repentance. And it is that blood that opens the baptism of the Holy Spirit for us. Because if your sins, if you have not been cleansed by the blood, that is, your sins have not been forgiven you, then you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? If your sins have not been forgiven, then you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. So the way to ascertain that your sins are forgiven is to truly confess your sin and let it come under the blood. Because when your sins do not come under the blood,
is not yet cancelled. It has not gone under the sea of God's forgetfulness. If your sins, if you might confess the sins, you must have confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. That once you genuinely confess your sins and you repent, that blood comes under the, that your sin comes under that blood. That blood is applied to you. How do you come to that? It's by genuine repentance. When you repent genuinely, the prophet told us there are three processes to salvation. One, having heard the gospel, faith comes by hearing the word. When you hear the word pricks your heart, you are condemned in your heart, you see yourself as a sinner, and you see the promise of God that, oh, this is the way God has made for me to come out of this sin. And that is why Jesus came in the flesh, the very reason. And that is what the other denominations don't see. It's because they do not see the reason why God Almighty had to come in the flesh. He came purposely because no other person can make atonement for any other man. God cannot send angel. He cannot send any other righteous or pure man or whatever holy man. He's only the one. And so he designed a body for himself so that he can have blood. Perfect blood that can divorce our sin. That can completely atone for that sin. The blood of animal covers the sin. I'm wearing a white shirt. If I had eaten this evening before I came and I stained my shirt, if I use my clothes to cover, you won't see it, but the stain is still there. But if you take, you know, this chemical, IPO, and you apply it to it according to the description of the use of that hypo, because there is the way you are to use it. Many of you that say you use the hypo, it doesn't work. It is because you don't follow the description. The right description, how you are, the quantity of water and the quantity of hypo that you are going to apply. You go and study the hypo, you see what I'm saying. The same thing with the blood. There is a way to apply it. You must recognize yourself in the position that you are. And then you must know that without you confessing your sins and asking God to forgive you, don't just presume that, oh, I come to church, I pray, and by that you do what is wrong and you overlook it. You are sitting on the keg of a gunpowder. It's even worse than gunpowder today. A serious atomic bomb. When you sin and you keep quiet there, you must recognize your sin. For you to enjoy the benefit of the blood. And that is why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. When you confess your sins, God has already, once God sees your heart, that you are genuinely confessing your sins, the devil cannot do any other thing. Devil can come and accuse you of sin. The most time we don't have confidence when we pray and the devil bring accusation to our heart is because you are really not sure whether your sins are forgiven. If you have the evidence that your sins are forgiven you, you laugh at the devil if he comes to you. And so what I'm saying now is that blood was shed for our atonement, for us to be free from the manipulation of the devil. For us to be free from the bondage of sin. When the prophet told us that when the children of Israel came under the blood, there was total deliverance. When they completely come under the blood, there was total deliverance. If we don't come under the blood completely, we cannot have total deliverance. And that doesn't mean to come completely under the blood. Like I've said, repent. When you repent, you don't go back to your sin. You don't go back to it and say, oh, the blood is there for me. If I sin again, I will come back to that blood. You are like Hebrews chapter 10. He that willfully sins, there is no more remission of sin. So you don't do things today and ask God, oh God, forgive me my sins, cleanse me by your blood. Oh, I believe in the blood. Yes, but you go back tomorrow. You must make up your mind and ask God to cleanse you from your sins. And when that blood is applied to you, then you are free. The prophet said that he cleansed us by his blood. It is by the blood that we are saved.
So if we don't have confidence in him, then we are cheating ourselves. Let me read this one. Hebrews chapter 5. That's 5709-08. That's the Hebrew teaching. 5709-08. M. That's in the morning. I'm reading paragraph 99. Now listen.
For the blood of bulls and of goats, that's where I have read, and the ashes of heifers sprinkle the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dead works, lying, cheating, fornicating, when you are not married, you are living with opposite sex. Adultery, you are married, you are living with another person's wife or another person's spouse. Covetousness, cheating. When somebody does this, and the rest of those things in the scriptures are written in Galatians chapter 5, it shows that the person is having dead works in his or her life. You cannot serve God under that condition. You are not alive. You are dead. Dead in sin and trespasses. You are not alive unto God. You are dead in sin. For you to be alive unto God, you have to be cleansed by the blood. And you must recognize it. When you recognize your condition, because it takes you to recognize your condition, God will not force you to come. But when you recognize your condition, and you see that this way God has made is for you to, is for God, is for you to be rescued from the hand of the devil, there is deliverance. You can be free from anything that is him. You can be free from whatever affliction, whatever torture and torment the devil can put you into. Maybe you feel that this you are doing, you cannot leave it. You just lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you and help you. It is that power in the blood will come upon you. It will give you deliverance. And then when it does that, and if you truly, genuinely repent, and you go for water baptism, it will fill you with the Holy Spirit. How much more shall that blood purge your conscience from dead works? Now, that means the worshiper, once purged, once cleansed by that blood, does not have desire for sin. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's not just to go for water baptism and you confess your sin and that takes place. It is the Holy Spirit that comes into your life after you are genuinely repented that empowers you to live above sin. And for you to have access to the Holy Spirit, the blood has to be applied to you. Hallelujah. So, you that you are looking for, everyone looking for the Holy Spirit, you are still here. Search your life. God is not a liar. We have had this morning. This evening. God is not a liar. Whatever he says he will do. He promised Holy Ghost, he fulfilled it. To those who have met his standard, who have met his condition. University, we admit students, you must meet their conditions. Hospital, they want to treat you, they will ask you, go and do tests, go and do this, go and do this. If you don't do it, many of them will look at you. You want to take delivery, hospital want to take delivery, they will tell you, go and buy this, go and buy this, go and buy this, go and buy this, go and buy this. Go and do this test, go and do this test. If you don't do it and give them the result of that, they will not attend to you. Is that not? Human beings, what about God? He has his standard. He will not lower it for nobody. So we have to come on his terms. God cannot come on our terms. Praise be to God. And so we must recognize that Jesus came for our deliverance. He came to shed his blood. That blood he has shed, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That blood cannot be shed again. That blood, as long ago as it was shed, is still as effective as it was from the first day that he started applying it. And he will not lose his power until the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this little opportunity to talk about the great thing that you have given to humankind, your blood. You came in simplicity. You left your glory. You wore flesh. Lord, are subject to pains and affliction for our sake, that you might have blood, perfect blood,
for the atonement of our sins. Lord Jesus, this little admonition has reminded us again, Lord, the importance of this and the benefit of it. Lord Jesus, may we not come short of the benefit of this blood. May this blood not cry against us at the day of judgment. May this blood be speaking for us. Speak better things than the blood of Abel. Thank you, Father. As we go into the new year, gracious Lord, let this blood mean more to us, Father. Give us revelation of his purpose, and may we be full partakers while this blood was shed. Grant it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The prophet said the reason why some people are against feet washing was because some people can have athlete feet. And while the prophet was saying it, before he finished it, a brother said that, but they get healed. Said they get healed. May God help our faith. The water that is good for 99% to wash their feet, it can wash the remaining 1% also. I don't see any need for changing water when it remains 2-3 people to wash. I can't just get that mathematics at all. May the Lord be our help. Shall we bow our heads? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this service and bringing us to the close of it. We thank you for the blessings. We started it last year, and we end it up in the new year, just the way your prophet did it. Thank you for the worship service. Thank you for the exhortations. We thank you, Lord, for those who render special numbers. We thank you for the prayers that were offered unto you, both in thanksgiving and requests. Lord, we are sure that everything is receiving attention before your throne of mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the ordinances, 2 out of the 3 that you led for us, that we have been privileged to partake of, Lord, this night. Dear Jesus, majority of the congregation have come to partake. We want to believe that because you have done something in the life of each one, that's why they have come. We have taught your children the requirement, your word for it, and we believe that it's because they have met those requirements, that's why they have come. If there be anyone that have taken it, Lord, contrary to the way your word said, may you forgive such. Lord, we ask, O eternal Father, that as your children have taken this thing in obedience, may the blessings that follow obedience to your instructions, may it follow our life. This new year, O God, we pray, dear God, that we'll be a step higher, Lord, than before, dear Lord. And every day, every week, every month, we'll see more of your grace. We'll see more of your glory. We'll see more of your victory. Lord, may your blessings accompany us throughout this year. Your coming is close at hand. We pray that you make us ready. Take away every spirit that ought not to be found in us at this time. May they be far away from us, Lord. We pray, dear God, that every family, you make them what they ought to be. Every individual, make us what we ought to be. Lord, drive away sicknesses and affliction from us, O God. Keep us in good and perfect health, dear Father. We pray for children, for your protection upon them. We pray for those, O God, who are just growing up, and Lord, they have not understood what the message is all about. May you open their eyes, Father. As many as we come to the age of accountability, may they witness your salvation, Lord. Those, O God, that you have saved, may they be saved, see, O God. We pray that you take each one from glory unto glory. Thank you, eternal Father. Very soon we'll be leaving for our home. Lord, some, Lord, may be going very far while some are going to closer places. May your protection take all of us home safely. We pray, dear God of heaven, that you give us a good rest throughout the day, O Father. Lord, by tomorrow, when we come for the testimony service, bring us again our numbers. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. And once again, Happy New Year to everyone. The pastor has a greeting message from the pastor of CFT in Maryland. That's in person of Pastor James Amamo. He said the pastor should greet the church. So the pastor has said I should deliver his message. God bless you. We'll be singing an hymn as we dismiss. Let's rise up and sing from 374. God our help, oh God our help in ages past. 374.